Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Michael is off tonight. I will be filling in for him. Michael, my friend, if you're listening, I just want to take this opportunity from the bottom of my heart to thank you for the wonderful opportunity of sitting in for you tonight. I also want to really wish you well on your upcoming book, Trickle Down Tyranny. I expect it to be a classic. I thought your last one was one of the best books I've ever read on the Obama administration, Trickle Down Poverty. Had Republicans used that slogan, had they understood what you understood about the evil socialist nature of Barack Obama, we would not be in the mess that we're in today. And I am looking forward to April 3rd. When the book finally goes on sale, I expect it to be another blockbuster and another classic. Members of the Savage Nation, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest must-read stories you cannot find anywhere else. And in particular, the issue of this segment, clearly the issue of the day, and in many ways the issue of our time. The rise of radical Islam in France, in Europe, and around the world. At the top of michaelsavage.com, Muslim murderer killed in raid. You have to read that story. You want to understand how France is dying, how Europe is dying, how the West is being defeated by these radical jihadists who have infiltrated in our midst. All you have to do is look at the story that's been unfolding over the last 3 to 4 days. And Michael, I want to commend you as a journalist and as a reporter and as a columnist at the Washington Times for your courage, for your bravery, and for the fact that you were the first and in many ways the only one that from the beginning understood that this, what was happening in France, was one of the biggest stories of our time. That this was not the act of some lone crazed gunman. It was not the act of some neo-Nazi. It was not the act of some, quote, serial killer, as this guy Mohamed Merad is still being referred to. No, this was the act of a radical Islamic jihadist with ties to Al-Qaeda and ties to the Taliban. And the media tried to cover it up at every turn. And you were the only one leading the way on this. And now the story has come to its inevitable end. Early this morning, the French security services had surrounded this jihadist in his apartment in the French southwestern city of Toulouse. Mohamed Merad, the man responsible for the murder of 3 French soldiers, a French Jewish rabbi, his 2 young sons, pupils, age 3, age 6, and another Jewish girl, another pupil at the school, age 8. 7 dead. He was surrounded. The police tried to negotiate. It went on for 32 hours. The French were so craven, so cowardly, so shackled by political correctness that they sought to negotiate with this man. They even sent in some of their police officers at the door. And they were shot at. Two wounded, one critically wounded in the chest. When the gunman finally said, in the early hours of the morning, "I will not be taken alive. I will go down killing police officers." Then finally, the French police and the French security service launched an all-out raid. Murad was now hunkered down in the bathroom. He had guns. He had an Uzi submachine gun. He had Kalashnikovs. He was armed to the teeth. And literally, in a scene almost reminiscent of Hollywood, he went down guns blazing, shooting, jumping through a window. He was apparently shot in the head as he jumped through the window firing, and he fell down to his fateful end. He is now dead. Murad, Mohammed, you think you're going to get your 72 virgins. I know that's what they tell you. Well, I got news for you, my friend. There are no virgins in hell. And that's exactly where you're going to end up. But what is to me one of the big stories of this is, why did the mainstream media deliberately attempt to cover up the true nature of these shootings? Who Murad was, what his goals were, that he was a radical Islamist who had been inflamed and trained in Afghanistan. There was one man who didn't toe the politically correct line, who held the mainstream media accountable, who ran with this story first and has now been vindicated. And that man was Michael Savage. And I want to replay what he said on Monday and how ahead of the curve he was and how he led the news coverage on this and how he led the analysis on this, where he said, why is the media covering up who this shooter is, who this terrorist is, and what his true aims and ambitions are? Boys, roll clip 6.
Already Fox News and the others are doing the cover-up. They say that 4 people were killed at a Jewish school. Apparently, when a child of 3 is Jewish, they become a people or a person. Because if you say children, it's liable to elicit too much sympathy for the 18% Muslim ownership of Fox News. So their report is, a French police official says the gun used to kill 4 people, not murder 4 children, at a Jewish school Monday, was the same gun used in attacks on 3 French paratroopers last week. So now we go down into the story, and it says an 11.43 caliber handgun was used in Monday's attack, and it's the same exact gun that was used to kill a paratrooper 8 days ago in Toulouse. Well, first of all, there is no 11.43 caliber handgun. It's an 11.43 millimeter handgun that equals a 45 caliber handgun. That's number one. But this shows you what passes for reportage today. Remember I told you the reason America has melted down is because 3 men control the journalism schools in the United States of America, and they interchange directorships, moving around like on a chessboard, making certain that people with only a minimal IQ of a liberal persuasion are allowed into the journalism schools so they can come out and use them like the stooges that they are. There is no reportage. There's no brains left in the media. I've never seen anything like this. But let's put that aside, because the media didn't shoot the children. Someone else shot the children. So the immediate cover-up tries to have you believe it was a right-winger. Now they're trying to tell you it was a right-winger because today it was Jewish children and a Jewish father. And the paratroopers, although they were in French uniform, 2 are of African descent and 1 was of Middle Eastern descent in the French military. So therefore, we have to conclude that it wasn't a Muslim, but it was a right-winger, maybe a member of Le Pen party. That's what they want you to suggest. The immediate suggestion is that it was somebody from the right wing who did it, not a Muslim. Muslim is never, ever considered the terrorist in the West or in France. In other words, unless they scream Allah Akbar, and then, of course, they cover it up as fast as they can.
Michael, be careful now, because you're going to be banned in France for saying that. Be careful. Be careful what you say now. That's what's going to land him in trouble, you see? Because he's not towing the politically correct line. He is now deviating from liberal secular orthodoxy. That the issue here is that this man was a radical Muslim whose goal and intent was to deliberately murder French soldiers, and in particular, to single out and target the Jews, to murder the Jews one by one. He picked that school, he picked those victims, he picked those children, and he wanted Jewish blood, and by God, he got it. Now, I ask all of you, why is the media covering up the fact that you have a swelling number of radical Muslims in England, in France, in Germany, in Italy, all across Europe, who despise our way of life, who despise their own countries, who despise Western civilization? And when somebody like Michael Savage states the obvious, you have a radical Muslim problem. Hate speech. Hate speech. No, don't say the word Muslim. Don't say it. My God, if you say it. No, no, it's inter-community violence. You're fostering violence now, Michael. Be careful. They banned you for that in Britain for speaking the truth. Be careful now. You may not be able to land in Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, in Paris. We know why he did it. The question I have for all of you is this. Who ultimately do you blame for this atrocity and this act of terror? Do you blame the French government for allowing this man to walk amongst their midst, even though they knew he was a potential jihadist? Do you blame the American government for sending him back on a plane back to France? Do you blame the perpetrator himself? Or do you blame the fact that the media, for the past couple of years, has been deliberately trying to indoctrinate the Western world and the American public and the French public and the European public that there is no Islamist problem? Who do you blame? And do you believe that we could face a Mohammed Mehrad right here on American soil? Do you fear a similar act of atrocity here in the United States? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The big question is, of course, is this individual somebody who was directed by Al-Qaeda to launch these attacks? He's claiming he belonged to Al-Qaeda. They trained in an Al-Qaeda camp in Waziristan. French authorities have yet to corroborate that story. Was he over there? Did they direct him? Did they encourage him? Or did he merely train with them and then come back and plot this attack of his own volition? All these questions, I think, will be answered in the hours and days ahead.
That was a CNN analyst. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. And I think he hit the nail on the head. I'm not usually a big fan of CNN, but I got to tell you, this guy was pretty much right. This man, Mohammed Mehrad, was trained in Afghanistan. In fact, also was trained across the border in Waziristan in Pakistan. He fought alongside the Taliban. He conducted terrorist attacks against NATO troops, against American troops. And then he was actually picked up by Afghan police on a roadblock, handed over then to American military personnel. He's on a watch list. They know he's Al-Qaeda. They know he's Taliban. They know he's in Afghanistan waging jihad, killing American soldiers, or at least trying to. And they put him back on a plane to France? And then he goes to France? And then in France, the French Secret Service is spying on this guy? And they see him going on all these websites? And going to all these mosques? And preaching hatred and jihad against the French president and against French society? And they don't pick him up? And then you want to see how complicated and sick this thing gets? He then goes back to Pakistan and Afghanistan and gets a second round of training and they still don't arrest him. So it takes four Jews dead, three French soldiers dead, three police officers wounded, one critically wounded. Maybe he's going to die. We don't know. This guy's finally thrown himself through a window. He's finally dead. And now the media are still refusing to look into this man's jihadist past and his links to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. It's incredible. 1-800-449-8255. Do you fear a Mohammed Merah right here in the United States? Do you believe it can happen? I want to hear from you. Petrie in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's Petrie. Hey, listen, CNN might be reporting all that information you just repeated there, which might be good information to know, but CNN, I saw today, they are still covering up with not telling the truth. Their headline said, French gunman died in blah, 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 shootout. And then a smaller text, they want to make mention of dying, yelling, Allah Akbar. But CNN is still covering up. You know, they don't want to call him a Muslim extremist or a terrorist. No, they call him a French gunman.
Exactly. Well, that'd be hate speech, Petra. You see, you have to get on the same page now. No, that's you're hating now when you say that he's a Muslim extremist and that he said Allahu Akbar as he was falling down to the ground. Oh, no, we can't say that. He was a neo-Nazi. He's a Jean-Marie Le Pen supporter, far right winger. No, that's not true. Okay, he's a gunman. He's a serial killer. I've been hearing that one now. That one's now starting to come. He's a serial killer. Yeah. He's like John Gacy or something. That's what he is. He's a serial killer. That's all he is. He just likes to bump people off occasionally. No, that's all he is. Look how we are willing to lie in order to avoid confronting the true reality of our time. My friends, radical Islam is on the march. Will we stand up and fight it? Not with this media. Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is the tough neighborhood of Toulouse that Merah came from. Off camera, this gang of young men who knew Merah attacked us as we tried to talk to them.
It was pretty scary. Within minutes of us arriving, we were rushed. Someone grabbed my phone. We were roughed up. Someone made a grab for our camera. And we were very lucky to get away without being seriously injured.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest on this story and so much else. We just played a quick clip right now of a CNN crew in France, in Merah's neighborhood, where here you have a reporter saying his friends, his fellow Islamist thugs, descended upon them, wanted to take their camera, threatened them, wanted to rough them up. And this is not uncommon. Have you noticed, and this is a point that Dr. Savage has brilliantly made on this issue, the media is afraid to say that this is an act of Muslim terrorism or Islamic extremism or jihadism because they're afraid of a backlash from the Islamists. Because it's not just roughing up television reporters and their cameramen. It's Daniel Pearl getting beheaded. It's cartoonists living in fear for their life. It's reporters being maimed, killed, and shot. It's Salman Rushdie with a fatwa on his head. In other words, if you say something that some radical Islamist finds offensive, they may kill you. They may put a fatwa on your head. I'm going to play something now by Michael Savage in a couple seconds. But before I do, I just want to share something with all of you. Literally, I told my wife about this story, and I told her I'd be filling in for Michael tonight. And she knew about the slaughter in Toulouse. And I said, I'm going to be addressing the issue of radical Islam head on. And what she said to me was this, and this is my own wife. Watch what you say. I don't want them to target you. I'm giving you a verbatim quote. What my wife said to me was one of the last things she said to me before I left the house. Now, my own wife is telling me to watch out what I say. Look at the fear that they're instilling in every aspect of our society. How we have to dance around this issue, whisper about it, talk in euphemisms, fear of offending radical Muslims. Be careful now, because you may be next. You may be a victim. You may be a target. How is it that we've allowed millions of immigrants from the Middle East and North Africa to come not only to America, but to France, to England, to Europe, to the West? And rather than assimilating, rather than being grateful, rather than accommodating themselves to our way of life, to our values, they intimidate us. They threaten us. They mock us. They murder us. They spit on us. And we cower in freedom. Sorry, in fear. Willing to give up our freedoms piece by piece by piece. In the 1930s, there was a similar gang of thugs, of fascists. They were Nazi fascists. They were secular fascists. They were pagan fascists. They were not Muslim fascists. But they were also on the march in Europe and around the world. And they also intimidated journalists. And they also had the West bury their heads in the sand. And everybody said, appease them. Don't talk about them. Don't tell us about Hitler's true intentions. Don't tell us what these fascists are really planning, what they really do with their brown shirts and their murders and their assassinations and destroying private property and targeting Jews. Turn away. Don't offend them. Here is Michael Savage rightly pointing out the Holocaust is happening again, except this time they're not killing 6 million Jews at once. It's like in France. It's one by one by one. One child, one pupil, one rabbi, picking them off one at a time. My friends, play clip three.
When I woke up this morning and I saw that three Jewish children have been gunned down outside of Paris by an unknown gunman, and I saw the cover-up begin right away, I knew that I had to do today's show. Welcome to the program. To me, this is a slow-motion Holocaust going on around the world. And again, the Jewish community itself is doing nothing, and the world at large is doing nothing. It is the 1930s all over again, only most of you don't know it. I want to talk about the slow-motion Holocaust. Here you have Bloomberg, allegedly a Jewish mayor in New York City, who says nothing to worry about, it can't happen here. Well, are you so sure of that? I called a Jewish school when I read this morning, right here in San Francisco, and you know what I got? I got like a blasé answer. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Like nothing changed in the world. And I started to yell at him on the phone. I said, hire a security guard. I said, what the heck is wrong with you? What world are you living in? And he starts quoting to me from ancient books. I said, put the books down, because millions like you went into the gas chambers with the holy books in their hands. I said, pick up a gun. When the hell are you going to learn what world you're living in? Stop with the Zohar. But I was talking to deaf ears, as I fear I'm talking to deaf ears here in America on virtually every topic. No matter how I try to tell you that we have a tyrant in the White House, and that we have the most corrupt administration in American history, I feel that all you really care about is whatever you care about. It isn't about politics. I don't know who to blame for that, nor does it matter. All I can say to you is it can happen here. It is happening here.
Bravo, Michael. Yes, it is happening here. Did we forget 9/11? Did we forget Major Nidal Hassan, who yelled out Allahu Akbar at Fort Hood, Texas, and gunned down his fellow service members, murdering 14, wounding dozens of others? I could go on and on and on. Mohammed Merah is not new in America. It's been going on now for the last 15 years. When are we going to wake up? Instead, that coward, Michael Bloomberg, Frankberg, who goes around saying, oh, he's for tolerance, he's for tolerance. Really, Michael? This is the guy that runs around and says that they have a right to build a mosque near the site of Ground Zero and a Muslim community center by a guy who wants America, an imam who wants America to be Sharia compliant? You think Michael Bloomberg is going to defend Jewish school children in New York from potential jihadists? He is just looking at fellow Americans down the river. My friends, you don't defeat fascism and ideological fanaticism through appeasement or looking the other way. They don't just disappear. They get more emboldened. They get stronger. They get bigger. They spread like a cancer. Today it is France. Trust me, tomorrow it will be us. 1-800-44. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, this is, it's actually, I'm in New York.
New York.
Actually, I live in Texas, but I'm visiting some friends here in New York. But you know what I wanted to say about Bloomberg, first of all? I remember the attack by that, when that guy almost blew up Times Square. And Bloomberg wants so badly to be a white militia man who hated the health care bills. That's what he was saying. This guy, this guy is such a disgrace. I used to be a police officer here in New York. I live in Texas now. And I tell people I used to work with, I says, you guys are disgraced, the way you enforce these gun laws that this little, like you said, this self-hating Jew, Bloomberg, pushes. If Jews had more weapons when the Holocaust came, and even before that, the pogroms, it would have been a totally different story. And I'm Jewish myself, so, you know, I'm talking, so I'm not, I know what I'm talking about. I know my history.
Roger, I know you do. And look, people don't understand this. I don't want to get sidetracked here. Why is the Second Amendment so important? The left keeps going on. Oh, look at these conservatives. They're fanatics about guns. No. The founding fathers knew how important gun ownership was. Why? Because were they all a bunch of supposed rednecks who just like to hunt squirrel? No, with no teeth in their mouth? Because they studied history. And they said an armed citizenry is a free citizenry. And the fact is, what the Nazis did and what the communists did when they first came to power was they disarmed their population. Then you can murder them. That's why Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton and George Washington and James Madison said, you want to have a free constitutional republic, you have to have the right to bear arms. Because then violence is not the monopoly of the state. The people can fight back. Now, what I don't understand, and I'm going to be very candid with all of you, how can the Jewish people, after having gone into the gas ovens at Auschwitz, at Treblinka, at Buchenwald, 6 million incinerated, and stand back and watch what is happening to them all across Germany, in France, in England? In France, synagogues are desecrated and attacked, firebombed. Cemeteries are vandalized, graves overturned. Jews are being regularly attacked all across France. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. Don't even take my word for it. Go to michaelsavage.com. Second story from the right. There's a new poll out in France. One-third of French citizens openly say they're anti-Semitic. They want the Jews out. Do the math. You have 7 million Muslims, many of them radicalized in France, 600,000 Jews. My friends, this is not going to end well. Now, the French government deported the Jews during World War II. They sent many of them off to the gas chambers. And now you expect me to believe that Sarkozy, who attends one little funeral, some kind of ceremony, and he says, no, an attack on a French Jew is an attack on French values. Really, Nicholas? Really, huh? I don't see you going after the radical Islamists. I don't see you standing shoulder to shoulder with Israel. I don't see that. Instead, what do I see from you? Political correctness, silence, fear of the Muslim vote, fear of Muslim retaliation. You went to the gas chambers once. Don't go a second time. And my advice to the Jews of France is France is no longer your home. They betrayed you in World War II and in the 1930s, but now there is a new gathering storm. There are hardly any of you left. Notice the powerful symbolism here, and this is key. These were French citizens, those four Jews that were killed, the rabbi, his two sons, and the young girl. They were French. They were Jewish, but they were French. But where were they buried? Where were they buried? Were they buried on French soil? No. They were flown to Jerusalem, to the Jewish homeland. Because that, my friends, for many Jews of Europe, is the only place that's safe. And even that, when Iran gets the bomb, will no longer be safe. There is another Holocaust taking place in front of our eyes. We were silent the first time. We vowed after World War II that we would never be silent again. Where is Barack Obama? Where is Nancy Pelosi? Where is John Boehner? Where is Mitt Romney? Where is the American media on this issue? Nowhere. My friends, that tells you everything you need to know. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Scott in Texas, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello. Hi, shalom, my friend.
Shalom, back to you.
Europe and the Western world are secularized, and they fail to recognize the reality that this is a religious war between Islam and the rest of the world. This will not rest until Judaism is removed. Diplomacy and appeasement will not resolve this. Extremists will not respect democracy. I fear, my friend, what is around the corner is nuclear terrorism. Israel understands this. Christian fundamentalists understand this. Unfortunately, jihadists understand this. This is insanity, but this is rooted in thousands of years of indoctrination.
Yes, you nailed it, Scott. You nailed it on every way, in every way possible. The Jews know that the jihadists are now sharpening the knife to slit their throats. They know that. Iran is about 6-8 months away from a nuclear bomb. They will use it. They will wipe the Jews out. And the Islamists in Europe, the Islamists in England, the Islamists in America will cheer. We know that. The Christians know what's in store for Israel. The Israelis know what's in store for Israel. Radical Muslims know what's in store for Israel. The only people that either don't know or don't want to admit that they know are liberals. It's the liberal media and their proxies and allies in the Democratic Party and the Obama administration. Everybody is now playing stupid. Everybody's now in it. We're all into diplomacy again now. We have to engage the mullahs. We have to reach out with our hand. We can't defend Ahmadinejad. We have to give him one more chance after dozens of chances to go back to the negotiating table. It's exactly how they treated this guy, Marat. Exactly like him. He goes to Afghanistan. What's he doing in Afghanistan? Obviously, he's a jihadist. He's training in Afghanistan. They catch him in Afghanistan. You think we detain him? You think we say, this guy has probably killed American troops. He's part of Al-Qaeda. Why don't we detain him and interrogate him? No, put him on a plane. It's France's problem. France grabs him. What do you think France does? Do they detain him? Do they interrogate him? Do they arrest him? No, because that's a violation of his civil liberties. You see, you're going after him because he's Muslim. You see the logic now. So they let him loose. And now what happens? 7 dead, 3 wounded, a nation in crisis. Now, think about it. It's very perverse to think like this, but think about it. What did this man accomplish? Say what you want about this madman, this sick animal. He brought France to its knees. He killed 7 for one of him. 3 of them soldiers. That's one damn good attrition rate. Now, if you're a jihadist, if you're a radical Muslim, okay, you're sitting in Paris in one of those suburbs, kicking back, watching television, okay, drinking some goat milk, and you're watching this. What are you thinking to yourself? The French are for the taking. We can take them. Look how weak they are. Look how pathetic they are. Look, they can't even call us by name. They're so afraid. They couldn't even storm the bloody apartment building. They had to wait 32 hours begging for him to come out, negotiating with him. They even sacrificed 3 of their cops. One may even die in the end. You honestly think the jihadists respect the French? You honestly think the jihadists respect us? They don't. Weakness invites aggression. And we're going to start to learn this the hard way very, very soon. Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I want to thank you for the incredible opportunity of filling in for you tonight. What a show. And to do so at such an historic moment during such an historic news cycle. I can't thank you enough, buddy. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest. I'm talking must-read, sizzling stories you cannot, you will not find anywhere else. I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to this upcoming book, Trickle Down Tyranny. I believe it could maybe change the nature of the election, the nature of the debate. I think it'll be another huge bestseller. I know if when I certainly get my copy, I'll definitely devour it and hopefully put together a review column for the Washington Times. And Michael, I just want to wish you the best of luck, my friend. If you go to michaelsavage.com, there are so many good stories, I can't single them all out, but there's one in particular. Now, I want you to stand back and just think about this. A man, 23 years old, of Algerian descent, who traveled to Afghanistan not once but twice, and once to Pakistan, to train with Al-Qaeda, who says he's a member of Al-Qaeda, who says he's a member of the Taliban, who has explicitly told police and anybody who listened to him before he was killed that the reason why he committed terrorist atrocities on French soil, why he murdered four Jews, including three children, gunned down in the head, shot in the head, three French soldiers, was because he wanted to avenge the deaths of Palestinians, that he wanted to end the supposed French occupation of Afghanistan, that he wanted, as he put it, to establish a global Muslim caliphate, a world Muslim empire. He even said that he did this with the help and support of his comrades and brothers in arms. As he put it, I am Mujahideen, and I did this along with my fellow holy warriors. And instead of taking him at his own word, instead of taking his actions at face value, you go to michaelsavage.com in a stunning display of cowardice, in a stunning display of mendacity. It's frankly, it's Orwellian. Okay, it's inhuman. It's almost something you'd see out of Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union. It's something Goebbels would put together. Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, comes out. And it's the title of the story. You gotta read this. Sarkozy, Islam not tied to, quote, insane acts of this man. You see, this man is just mentally deranged. Has nothing to do with Islam. Nothing to do with Muslim extremism. Nothing to do with Islamism. No, it's got no political, religious goal or ambition. None whatsoever. Nothing. Nothing. No, he just flipped. No, just a little off his rocker. Just kind of lost it there. Just flipped and started to shoot soldiers and then said, hey, let me pick on some Jewish school children. That's all. That's all. That's it. They are trying to sanitize. They are trying to erase what this man did and why he did it. That's what's really going on here. They are trying to deny the obvious, that radical Islam now seeks to conquer not just the Middle East, not just North Africa, but now it has its eyes, its greedy eyes, set on Europe and on France. I believe that the French have never recovered from World War II. When they surrendered to the Nazis, and Hitler walked in practically unopposed and marched in Paris and went up the Eiffel Tower and observed now the conquered country, the once great empire of France, now at his feet. The French lost their soul. The French lost their dignity. The French lost their pride. And after we defeated the fascists in World War II, this new wave of fascism has now infiltrated the shores of France practically unopposed. And they are now spreading like wildfire all across that country. And the French are now surrendering once again. This time without even firing a shot. There's no Maginot Line. There's nothing now. It's just lies. Dirty little lies. And the man that was the first and the only major media figure. CNN wouldn't do it. Fox News wouldn't do it. MSLFBC wouldn't do it. Most radio talk show hosts wouldn't even touch this story. It was Michael Savage who first understood the importance of this story, who first understood the deep connections to Al-Qaeda, who understood the ties to radical Islam, and that this was an act of war against the French and against the West. Here is Michael Savage, because I want to show you how prescient he was and how gutsy he was and why I admire this guy so much. Here is Michael Savage being one of the first to say, you know what? This is not the act of a lone gunman. This guy had a lot of friends and a lot of places helping him, and everybody's trying to cover it up. Boys, roll clip one.
Expert after expert is claiming that this radical terrorist was nothing but a lone wolf, and yet the terrorist himself claims that he is affiliated with Al-Qaeda. I have never seen anything like this in my entire life. Never. This was the biggest manhunt in the history of France since the 1980s. The entire nation came to a standstill. And yet NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC are not covering it to any extent. None of the websites will cover the story. And when they do, they say four people were killed. Suddenly a two-year-old child shot in the head at close range by a Muslim fanatic is a people, no longer a child. Because you see, any sympathy for the Jewish people is verboten. Verboten in the new EU, Euro, U.S. zone. Verboten. Verboten. So I ask you some questions today on the Savage Nation. I ask you some simple questions. Since the media hasn't stopped its lies yet, and again, expert after expert, so-called, are claiming that this radical terrorist was nothing but a lone wolf, while the terrorist himself claims that he is affiliated with Al-Qaeda. How do you feel about that today? How do you feel about the fact that I, Michael Savage, was the only one right on this, that the media was wrong in our time? And in our time, when the media has been reduced to paid shills, to infomercials, and Muslim apologists, the last independent voice, Michael Savage, is now important, more important than ever before. I saw it for what it was. I worked with you, and I poked holes in the French story that came out. Same gun, same killer, attacking minorities. You remember we did this on Monday? I was the only one who covered it. Why is it off the websites? Why is it off the news media? I turned the news on, and there was the dumbest man in the media, Neil Cavuto, covering Tebow, covering stories about volcanoes. Fox News won't cover it. Now, you expect this from the people on CNN like Wolf Blitzer, who himself is Jewish, who should know better, who understands the Holocaust, who has become a member of the Stockholm Syndromites. You expect it from a man like Wolf Blitzer, a shame of the Jewish people. But you wouldn't expect it from Fox News, would you? Or would you? Well, you would expect it under the leprechaun. The leprechaun has destroyed Fox News, now licking the boots as a slavish worshiper would, and now not reporting a story even of this magnitude.
That was Michael eloquently laying out the case. And you know, many of you, look, you're in Wyoming, you're in Idaho, you're in Montana, and you're asking yourself, what does this have to do with me? This is France. I live in America. What does this have to do with me? The answer is simple. Today it is France. Tomorrow it will be you. Those very same radical Islamists that slaughtered those children and killed those French soldiers, they're all over France. They're all over England. They're all over Europe. But they're here. They're here. They're in Canada, they're in America, and they're growing. And the same fear that is preventing the French from defending themselves, their culture, and their nation is now gripping the American media, and it is gripping the American establishment. And radical Islamists are becoming even more emboldened here. And so France's destiny, Europe's dying fate, will become ours if we don't realize who the enemy is and what the enemy wants. And what does the enemy want? The destruction of the West, the destruction of the Jews, and the destruction of America. My friends, we told ourselves during the 1930s, oh, it's in Europe. It has nothing to do with us. And it eventually came to our shores. And the end was 50 million dead and a continent destroyed in rubble. The same thing is going to happen to us if we're not careful. And so my question to you is this. Has this story made you change anything in your life? Your habits, your values, the way you work, the way you think about the world? Has it made any your personal security, your personal sense of yourself? Is there anything about this story that has affected you and changed you in a fundamental personal way? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on A Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting for the living legend, Michael Savage. Tom in Maryland, You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, it's a good show tonight. I am a first-time caller, but I do listen to Dr. Savage as much as I can. Political correctness is killing this country. Everybody is scared to death to call it exactly what it is. They are Islamic terrorists. Just like the guy at Fort Hood, he had a mission. He was out to kill as many of us Americans as he could so he could be martyred and go with his 72 virgins, which I don't believe. I am a firm believer in one true God, and for all intents and purposes, he's gone to hell like every
he's,
other.
Tom, he's going to hell. He's never going to see those virgins. He's in for a big, rude surprise. But to me, the big story about that, okay, yes, Americans died. This guy walked around with a business card that said Mujahideen on it. This guy was giving lectures in class, I kid you not, about how the United States needs to get out of Muslim countries and get out of Afghanistan and get out of Iraq and how America is waging a holy war upon Muslims. And nobody said nothing. In fact, after he butchered his fellow Americans, his fellow service members, okay, this is a man in the army. What did the top military people say? We can't allow this to sacrifice the diversity of our military armed forces. We can't alienate fellow Muslims by singling them out as a radical Islamist. Are you kidding me? How are we going to fight the enemy if we're not even willing to name it and identify it? That's what's wrong with political correctness. It leads to suicide. It is a recipe for defeat. It is a form of madness and insanity. That's what it is. And if we don't fight it, my friends, many more will die. And they won't just be Frenchmen and French women and French children. There'll be many more Americans. Trust me on this. Quickly, Jill in Nevada, you're on the Savage Nation. Go, Jill.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know I am very ashamed of my fellow American Jews. I think there's a lot of anti-Semitism. A lot of terrorism in this world, and if we don't wake up, we're all in trouble. I am married to an Israeli who is an American citizen for over 30 years, and every day in their life, they fought to stay alive. And I have encountered, after 9/11, in my business, of a customer dropping off his car with all radical terrorism in it that I had to call up the FBI, and he was on the watch list. And also, there was anti-Semitism in my daughter's high school. Please.
Okay, hold on, Jill. Hold on. Somebody explain that to me again. A guy was on a terrorist watch list and he dropped something off at your business?
Yes. He brought his car over to be fixed.
Okay.
And we're cleaning out the car because it has to be cleaned up, the car inside. And what happened was the book was open and was all these terrible things. Called up the FBI and they said, well, he was on the watch list. So we got him, but what I'm trying to say is people need to be aware. And thank goodness for Michael Savage that I have woken up and learned more about politics because the stupid TV does not tell the facts.
God bless you, Jill. God bless you. To all of you out there that I've been saying and thinking, what does this have to do with me? Listen to this call. This is a woman in Nevada. With a business, obviously a car cleaning business, and an Islamist comes in, the literature is there, it's wide open, and she was on a terrorist watch list. If they're in Nevada, you don't think they're somewhere near you? And that's why I've been trying to warn everybody now for years. This threat of radical Islam is not just limited to Israel. It's not just limited to Afghanistan. It's not just limited to the Middle East or Europe. It is coming here. It is already here. My friends, why don't we stand up and call evil for what it is? Because if we don't, evil will slaughter us. It's happened before. It will happen again. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest on this story developing in France and, frankly, other major stories you need to be aware of. If there's, in a sense, one theme that I think really starts to come out of all this, is look at the political correctness. And it's like the previous caller, she had it hit the nail right on the head. It is destroying the world. It is slowly destroying the world. It is political correctness that allowed this guy, Marat, to rise up the ranks of French society, go to school. He was on welfare when he committed these atrocities, collect benefits, live off the fat of the land, live off the French government, go to Afghanistan, become radicalized, wage terrorist attacks and acts of war against American troops and NATO troops. American government turns a blind eye, sends him back home. French government essentially won't arrest him for fear of being considered Islamophobic. And this man, instead of being grateful to a society that has given him free housing, welfare, free education, food, he, in fact, turns around and spits in the face of France and starts murdering its fellow citizens. And nobody wants to say anything. That there are millions of French Muslims who live in these low-income slum houses, many of them outside of big cities, like in Paris or in southern France, Marseille, Toulouse, who live off welfare, free health care, free education, sitting around all day, watching satellite television, using Al Jazeera, getting themselves all worked up about how somehow they're being oppressed and how they have to go and spread radical Islam and Sharia law and murder homosexuals and stone women and enslave women and murder Jews and conquer the West and conquer America. And so you have this sickness called political correctness, which is really another form of multiculturalism, where we have to deny the cultural achievements of the West, where we no longer assimilate immigrants. Have you noticed that? Everybody now is encouraged to keep their own ethnic, religious, or national heritage. Nobody's supposed to be an American anymore. Nobody's supposed to be a Frenchman anymore. Nobody's supposed to be an Englishman anymore. No, it's the opposite. No. They're told that their religious identity, that their Muslim identity, trumps whatever identity it is in the country that they occupy. They're Muslims first. They're Islamists first. Not Frenchmen. Not French women. Not Americans. Not Englishmen. Not Germans. How do you win? You can't. In fact, political correctness is blinding us to the fact that now Islam is the biggest religion on the face of the earth. It is spreading like wildfire. This is for them a second great awakening. The Middle East, Africa, Asia, Europe, increasingly America. It is now the fastest growing religion in the world. And within that religion are radical extremists encouraged by thousands of mullahs, backed by tens of billions of dollars that come from Saudi Arabia, that come from Iran, that come from the Gulf Sheikhdoms, that come from Pakistan, that are financing acts of terrorism all around the world. And they're not random. They all have one goal in mind: to make Islam the dominant religion of the world, to subdue Jews, Christians, and non-Muslims, to reestablish the great Muslim empire that was carved out for 700 years from the 700s to the 1400s. They want to restore what they once had. That's what this is about. And instead, the Western media is lying to you. If anything, this could be the greatest crime, because they're not even willing to confront the truth. We are slowly committing suicide. And let me say something now, very clearly and unequivocally to all of you. A liberal is somebody who would rather die, who would rather be slaughtered, than stand up and confront an Islamist. This is the sad reality that we're in today. Our political and cultural elites are abandoning us out of fear, out of cowardice. You think that Jeff Kuhner is exaggerating? You think that Michael Savage is exaggerating? Do you know how many radical Islamic acts of terror have been committed on American soil? This is not just happening in France. This is not just happening in Spain. This is not just happening in England. This is not just happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, in some faraway country, Bali, Indonesia. This has been happening right here on American soil, going back years. Innocent civilians, Americans, slaughtered, killed in cold blood. And what was their crime? What was their crime? Their existence, simply being an American. Here is Michael Savage listing all of the acts of atrocities committed by radical Islamists here on American soil. Boys, roll it.
July 4th, 2002, Los Angeles airport shooting. Hesham Mohammed Hadayat, a 41-year-old Egyptian Muslim, shoots and kills two Israelis and wounds four others at the El Al ticket counter. FBI calls this terrorism. That's because Obama was not president. October 2002, Beltway sniper attacks. During 3 weeks, John Allen Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo killed 10 people. Random. Except, of course, they were part of the Islamic Jihad. 06, March 5, Mohammed Reza Tahiri Azhar injures 6 people when he drives an SUV into a group of pedestrians at UNC Chapel Hill to, quote, avenge the deaths of murders of Muslims around the world. Was it random? 06, July 28, Seattle Jewish Federation shooting. Naveed Afzal Haq, an American citizen of Pakistani descent, need I say a Muslim, breaks into a Jewish community center, shoots and kills one woman and shoots 5 other women at the Jewish Federation building in Seattle. During the shooting, Haq told a 9/11 dispatcher that he was angry with American foreign policy in the Middle East. Was that random? June 1, 2009, Arkansas recruiting office shooting. Abdullah Khan Mushahid Muhammad shoots and kills one military recruiter and seriously wounds another at Little Rock, Arkansas, Army Naval Career Center, in an act of Islamic terrorism. Muhammad, a convert to Islam, had visited Yemen for 16 months. Was that random? November 5, 2009, Fort Hood shooting by Muslim Major Nidal Malik Hisan, a U.S. Army psychiatrist, opens fire and kills 13 people, shoots 33 others at the Fort Hood Army base. In an act of Islamic terrorism, he is yet to be brought to trial. Were these random, or is it too soon to tell? I spit on the vermin in the media. I spit on you all.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I couldn't have said it more eloquently or more forcefully or more courageously myself. Has this incident and these other incidents that Michael Savage just listed, has it changed your behavior? Has it changed anything you're doing regarding your personal security? Has it changed your outlook in any way, shape, or form? I want to hear from you. Mel in Detroit, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. I have my beliefs been aware of what's been happening for some time, and they're reconfirmed by these incidents in France and the like. I have gotten a concealed carry license about a year and a half ago. I'm of the Jewish faith, and I encourage all Jews and Christians alike to respectfully arm themselves, not to be ashamed of it, have a gun safe in your home. And when I get calls from like organizations like the ZOA or AIPAC or the Anti-Defamation League, I tell them, you know, those words that you tell me are nice, you know, the your ideas are in the right place, but what you need to really do is tell people really what's going on and learn how to use a firearm.
Mel, look, I got to tell you, people have to start, look, please, I don't want people to start committing acts of violence. Don't mistake me here. But look, this is serious stuff. And if the government is not going to protect us, and if the media is going to keep lying to us, then we're going to have to be able to defend our own families. And the problem in France is that they have very strict gun laws. Now, did you notice he had no problem getting weapons? And nobody's asking this question. This his income, this guy Mohamed Merah, okay, this leech, this parasite, all right, this guy who lived off the fat of the land in France and then spat on it. This man made $635 a month. He was basically on welfare, on unemployment checks. How does a man making $635 a month, how does he be able to afford multiple addresses, numerous rent-a-cars? He's driving around on these scooters. He's driving around on motorcycles. And he's got a cache, a storage of weapons and arms. How does he afford all these Kalashnikovs and Uzis on $635 a month? Obviously, he was financed by a much larger terrorist network. No, Nicolas Sarkozy. No, it's the acts of one lone madman. Just one madman on $600. It's amazing what $635 can buy you in France. It's amazing how many apartments it can get you. I didn't know it was so good in France. Didn't know that. Rent-a-cars, Kalashnikovs, grenades, Uzis, 45 Magnums. It's unbelievable. We should all go to France. Live high off the hog. It's incredible the way the media is downplaying this story and the nexus. And it's not just France. It's everywhere. And they're growing and they're getting more emboldened. This is, to me, what is stunning. People, I hate to say this, but it reminds me of stories my grandfather told me growing up in the 30s and 40s. He said, Jeff, you can see the fascist party swelling in country after country in Europe. They were coming out on the streets. Then they began to take over local assemblies and local governments. And then it was regional governments. And then it was national governments. And before you knew it, you were the minority. And before you knew it, the fascists outnumbered everybody. And then they started slaughtering everybody. And nobody wants to mention that. And there's another point nobody wants to mention. Did you notice how he didn't want to be taken alive? The French police were desperate to get a hold of him alive. Why? Not because they're cowardly. A lot of jokes are being made. Oh, the French are cowardly. They didn't want to come in guns blazing. No. They wanted him alive because they wanted to know who his accomplices were. How did he get his funding? How did he get his financing? Who helped him? Logistical supply. How deep is this terror network in southwest France? How far does it extend? But he didn't want to give himself up. He would rather die. He would rather commit martyrdom, lose his life, than give up his friends, give up his fellow mujahideen, give up his fellow comrades. Do you see the ideological intensity, the fanaticism, the self-sacrifice? It is what Hitler called it, the triumph of the will. Hitler openly boasted, I will dominate Germany and I will dominate Europe. And I will dominate the world through a triumph of the will. Now, I ask you, in all fairness, and I know they're incredible men and women in our armed forces. I've met them. Men of and women of immense courage and patriotism and devotion. How many of us are truly willing to jump through a window and take a bullet in the head for our beliefs? How many of us are willing to fight and die for our civilization? How many? Because I'll tell you this, there are tens and tens of millions of Islamists and jihadists who are willing to do just that. How many are willing to die for our secular, decadent West? I'll tell you this, I didn't see one French cop willing to jump into that apartment and risk his life. I didn't see one Frenchman willing to jump through a window to kill this man. He literally outwilled the French. And that is why 77 million Muslims, the tail is now wagging the dog of 60 million French. 7 million Muslims are now telling 60 million Frenchmen what to do, how to live, and how to set apart and how to set and establish their society and what rules they should govern themselves. You think about that. It's not the majority that's implementing rules. It's the minority. My friends, who's winning and who's losing? That's the question. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Tom in on WOR in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation, Tom.
Jeff Kuhner filling in for Michael, America's Savage. God bless you, Jeff.
God bless you, Tom. Thanks for calling, my friend. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Jeff. In New York, there are 250 Jewish schools. In the tri-state area, there might be 1,000 Catholic schools. Great police forces like the NYPD and Ray Kelly, let's let them do their job. Let's close our mouths and not get in their way. I think Governor Christie was wrong. If he feels that intelligence is not being shared with his law enforcement, he should make a private phone call to Ray Kelly and say, share that intelligence with me. Let's not undermine the effort. We believe in life from conception until natural death. We believe in the right of self-defense. Let's let our law enforcement do their job and keep us safe.
You're dead on, Tom. And look, I generally like Christie on some of the issues. But, you know, I don't understand. Is there suddenly now a large community of Muslim voters in New Jersey I'm not aware of? You have him, you have Mayor Michael Bloomberg. All of them are suddenly saying, oh, it's wrong to be surveying Muslims in general. It's wrong to be targeting them as a group. It's profiling. It's discrimination. It's un-American. Look, I'm sorry, but where are most of these Islamists coming from? They're coming from mosques. What are they reading? They're reading the Quran. What are they using to justify their acts of terror? The Quran. Who are they hanging out with in predominantly Muslim communities? Where are they getting their funding from? From Muslim countries. So where are we supposed to find these terrorists? In an Irish Catholic church? Tell me, where? At some Buddhist shrine? I don't think so. So what you've been seeing, again, is your political leaders betraying you, telling you that you're a racist because you actually believe radical Islam is a legitimate threat. You see, if you notice, this is the language that now they keep using. It's terrorist ideology. It's extremist ideology. They never tell you what the content of that extremism is. They never tell you what the content of that terrorist ideology is. We don't have a problem of Irish Catholic nuns blowing themselves up on planes. We have a problem with young Muslim extremist men murdering innocent women and children. And if Mayor Michael Bloomberg won't say it and Chris Christie won't say it, I will. This is Jeff Kuhner. Sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. My buddy, I want to thank you for the wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. It has been an absolutely superb show. And moreover, I know your book is about to come out. It's a couple weeks away now. It's going to come out April 3rd, 2012. Trickle Down Tyranny. You can go to michaelsavage.com and order your advance copy. I am looking forward to it. I can't wait to read it. I'm going to inhale it, devour it the way I did your previous book. And when I look at the book, just the preliminaries that I understand about it, what is the book really about? The book is really about the destruction of America and the lies, suppression of truth, and cover-up that we have been witnessing from our political and media class. And you are going to expose them all in this book. And yet, one of the biggest scandals that you have exposed, as you point out on numerous stories on your website, michaelsavage.com, is how the media has covered up the radical Muslim nature of that French jihadist, of that French murderer who now has slaughtered seven people before tumbling to his death in France in a showdown with the police in Toulouse. Four French Jews are dead, one rabbi, three children. They have now been buried in Israel. France is shocked. Europe is reeling. America now knows it may be next in this growing radical Islamist wave. And yet, where is the media? Why are they covering up? Why were you the only one that led the charge to expose the full, heinous, true nature of this story? Here is Michael Savage, in his own words, putting the media on trial for covering up the truth of the atrocities that have taken place in France. Boys, roll clip two.
This is a heartbreaking story for many different reasons. We're covering the story of the murder of little children in France by a Muslim terrorist. The cover-up by the media beginning on Monday. Immediately after it occurred, they said it was random. Then they said it was a serial killer. Then they said it was a racist neo-Nazi who did it. Every possible alternative was used to avoid coming to the conclusion that this was a radical Islamic terrorist attack. Only one man saw this for what it was after analyzing it and discussing it with his audience. One man saw through the lies of the media and the so-called experts. One man realized this had nothing to do with white racism, nothing to do with serial killers. It was not random, and that man was me, Michael Savage. But the media has not stopped its lies yet. They've not stopped the lies yet. They're still calling him a lone wolf if they're covering it at all, while he himself says he was trained by Al-Qaeda to go out and do this.
He wasn't a lone wolf. You're completely right, Michael. He is an Al-Qaeda agent who perpetrated an act of jihad against French citizens in part of a larger war against the West and America. That the American media will not tell you. That our American politicians won't tell you. And the reason why they won't tell you this, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, is because they have been lying to you. And it's not just on this issue with radical Islam. Egregious and disgusting and important as it is, it's on almost everything. They're lying to you about language, borders, and culture, as Michael Savage has rightly pointed out. They're lying to you about that wannabe dictator in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. They've lied to you about his radical past, about his ties to Bill Ayers, to Bernadine Dorn, to Derek Bell, to Jeremiah Wright, to Saul Alinsky. They've lied every step of the way covering up for that criminal in the White House. And what was the biggest act, the most destructive domestic piece of legislation that this criminal passed that is flagrantly unconstitutional, that was rammed down the throats of Americans against the express will of the American people, rammed through Congress, bribing members of the Senate, bribing senators with taxpayer dollars, shamelessly? It was Obamacare. And one of his henchmen, or should I say henchwomen, one of his little poodles that he used in Congress was the piranha, Nancy Pelosi. She was the one that shepherded that baby through the House. She was the one that cracked heads. She was the one that intimidated every dissenting Democrat who knew they were going to lose re-election by supporting this healthcare monstrosity. She was the one. She carried the knife. She did the dirty deed. And now, she has the gall to go on the House of the floor? The floor of the House, forgive me? The floor of the House of Representatives in Congress? On the eve of the second anniversary of when that bill was passed, tomorrow will be 2 years exactly to the day that Obamacare was passed. When American healthcare as we know it, the greatest system of healthcare the world has ever seen, was practically destroyed. Unconstitutionally, illegally, unethically imposed upon the American people, forcing Americans to purchase a good service or product even if they don't want it upon pain of penalty. And what does she say? This liar, this con woman, this cover-up artist, talking about cover-ups. The media don't just cover up what's happening in France. The left don't just cover up what's happening in France. Led by Pelosi and Obama, they cover up what's happening here. Obamacare being a case, exhibit A, case number one. Here is Nancy Pelosi in her own words saying, the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, would love Obamacare. Boys, roll clip 12.
Our founders put forth in our founding documents, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that is exactly what the Affordable Care Act helps to guarantee.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? This thing is going to bankrupt America. This thing is going to ration health care. It is going to literally force Americans to pay for abortion in this country. It's going to have your taxpayer dollars used to subsidize the murder of unborn children. This thing is going to bring a socialized health care right here in America, where the state, the government, is going to decide what you can do with your own body, what kind of health care you can get, what kind of doctor you can get, what kind of treatment you can get, and what kind of treatment you can be denied. You, your wife, your children. They are nationalizing your body, your health. It is the greatest, most sweeping government takeover of individual liberty in the history of the United States. And she has the gall to tell us that this is part of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? It is part of death, slavery, and the pursuit of misery. That's what this thing is about. Leon in Washington, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I love what you're doing, and I support what what Tom in New York was talking about. I called Ray Kelly's office a couple weeks ago and told him that to keep doing it and that America supports him. But you were talking about people who call us racist because we see what's happening with the with this Islamist movement. Well, the worst insult to an American is to call him a racist or a bigot. Now, a liberal, the average liberal, will be indignant if you call him a bigot or a racist. And yet, that same liberal will support, they will shield, they will shelter, protect, defend, and they will even cower before the Muslims. And these Muslims hate Jews just for their religion. That's the worst.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you nailed it. What these liberals will do is they will protect and defend and apologize and rationalize radical Islamists who despise women. You want to talk about homophobia? They go on about the Christian right being homophobic. They're all over Rick Santorum for being homophobic. Rick Santorum could be a spokesman for Playgirl. He could be a spokesman for Playgirl compared to these mullahs, how they despise Muslims. They're anti-Semitic, they're anti-Christian, they're anti-woman, they're anti-gay, you name it. And yet liberals will constantly make excuses for these radical Islamists and for Muslim fundamentalists. You see it again and again and again. But let me get even more to the heart of the matter. When I look at modern liberalism today, what is it truly based on? It is based on hatred of America. It is based upon hatred of Christianity. It is increasingly becoming anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. So I ask you, if an ideology in the name of secularism, in the name of socialism, hates practicing Christians, hates practicing Jews, hates Americans because of their history and heritage, is that not bigotry? The biggest bigots I have ever seen in my life, outside of Islamists, are liberals themselves. And I think that's why they see race in everything. And I think that's why they fear race in everything. Because deep down, I believe that they know they are racist themselves. That's their disease. And they're trying to project it upon everybody else. And so the question I have for all of you is a very simple one. Why do you believe liberals are not willing to stand up to radical Islam? And moreover, why do you believe that liberals feel the need to constantly lie about issue after issue after issue? Do you feel you were lied to about Obamacare? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner, KUHNER, from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. The question before the House is, why are liberals afraid to confront radical Islam? And also, why do they feel the need to constantly cover up major issues? Do you feel that Obama and Pelosi lied to you about Obamacare? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our blazing phone lines. Dan in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
So, Mr. Cooner.
Hey, Dan.
Pleasure to talk to you. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend.
Liberals, your question is why are they afraid? Because they're cowards. Liberals don't want to deal with anything that's right in front of their face. This is the problem of the world. We better start dealing with something that's right under our nose. I lived in France half of my life, and I can tell you stories that you don't want to hear. The French are going to deal with this, and I have a feeling this is going to be World War III. The Muslims are ready to take over France. Now, you see all the police in France dressed up in black with their AK, with their automatic weapons. The French are really tough. Let me tell you something about the French police. They're ready to take care of business, but they're too nice. See, the problem with the French people is they are too nice, just like us.
Dan, look, I've been to France on numerous occasions. I speak French. My wife speaks absolutely fluent French. I used to be a professor before I became a journalist or a columnist at the Washington Times. We took students on trips to France, and I drove around in police cars. They showed me, in French they call them les banlieues, which is the suburbs of Paris. Those are no-go zones. There's an intifada being waged in France. And I was just explaining this to the producers before we even did the show. I said, look, if I never see France again, I won't miss it. It's not the country you see in Hollywood movies. That's the old France. That's long gone. It has now become overrun by illegal third world immigration, like much of Europe. It has now become, large sections are now dominated by Islam, radical Islamists. There is Sharia law everywhere. You walk around parts of downtown Paris, there are huge mosques, mosques that tower over these other churches. The churches are empty. The mosques, I can't explain this to you. You're going to think I'm exaggerating. The mosques are so overfilled that literally they pour out onto the streets when they pray to Mecca. With the mats on the floor, traffic is blocked. They literally clog up traffic. Now I ask you, if demography is destiny, and if the Muslims are that committed, what chance do the native French have? None. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times, sitting for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. What has been really the topic, the dominant theme of today's show? It is that the liberal media, both in America and in Europe, have been deliberately suppressing the truth, covering up the true nature of radical Islam, the threat that we face, and the dangers of political correctness in paralyzing the West. And here is Michael Savage, eloquently, forcefully, unequivocally, stating that beyond the threat of radical Islam, beyond the threat of Muslim extremism, beyond the holy war being waged against the French and the English and Europe and America, is that the liberal media won't even come close to looking at what is really happening. They won't even ask the most basic questions that any journalism student, a freshman journalism student, knows needs to be asked. Here is Mr. Savage, Dr. Savage. In his own words, boys, roll clip 4.
I believe that there's a huge cover-up about the shootings in France. The report that came out was immediately described as random. Then it was described as a serial murderer. Then they said, the French said, that the same gun had been used to shoot three French soldiers of ethnic backgrounds, two African and one Middle Eastern, in the French military. They were paratroopers a while ago. They said the same gun. The problem is, how do they know it was the same gun? Would you believe a word that the French tell you, first of all? You believe one word from the French government? Why are we reading that the same gun and motorbike were used in Jewish and soldier attacks? How do they know that? Did they recover the gun? How do they know? They don't know. They made it up. And then they reported on the same gun in two different calibers. They created a caliber that doesn't even exist. And then they said the second shooting of the Jewish kids was with a 9mm. But the first one was with an 11.45mm, which so far as I know does not exist. It's a lie. It's a cover-up. It's a lie. It's a cover-up. The gunman initially used a 9mm weapon, but it jammed. So he switched to a 45 caliber weapon as he went into the Toulouse school, police said. Really? How do they know that? Did they recover the guns? I don't think so. And yet they tell us that it's the same gun that was used to shoot the French troops. Do you believe a word of any of this? And why was the school unarmed? What have Jews learned from history? The answer is nothing. The Jewish people of America and the world have learned absolutely nothing from the Holocaust.
Amen, brother. And the question that I have is, what happened to the liberal media? What has happened to liberalism? I was just talking about this with the producers over the break. I look at somebody like Nancy Pelosi. I look at Dirty Harry Reid. I look at that con man, Barack Obama, the dear leader. And compare them to Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy. Can you imagine if any one of those three presidents were in office today? FDR, who waged total war for total victory against the Nazis? Harry Truman, who dropped two atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Who led the creation of NATO? Stopped Stalin's armies in Eastern Europe through containment? John F. Kennedy, who risked taking the world to war to stand up to the Soviets in Cuba? A staunch anti-communist? Now, if Kennedy was in office today, or Truman was in office today, or Franklin Roosevelt was in office today, I'll tell you this, the radical Islamists wouldn't be running wild across Europe and the Middle East. They know they'd have a president in the White House to deal with. They know they'd have a leader of the free world. And so the question that I was asked by one of the producers, it's a question I get asked all the time. As a journalist and a columnist at the Washington Times, somebody who's been studying liberalism for most of my life. What happened to liberalism? What happened to the liberals? And the answer is very simple. The 60s happened. And many of today's conservatives are really yesterday's liberals. In fact, Ronald Reagan was a classic New Deal liberal. He said so himself. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. It became isolationist. It became America bashing. It became socialist. And it became permissive, beholden to the abortion lobby and the feminist lobby. And that's not my traditional America. And so I left to the Republican Party. FDR was culturally conservative. FDR was, you want to talk about a man who knew how to use the bully pulpit and who wasn't afraid to project American power and destroy our enemies. Harry Truman was a ferocious anti-communist. John Kennedy went toe-to-toe with Nikita Khrushchev. Let me tell you something. When you messed with those three men, you messed with the full might and power of the United States. Now, today's liberals are yesterday's socialists. You see, they use the name liberalism. They use the name liberals. They're not. They're really socialists slash soft Marxists. That's what they really are. So this is why you get a Barack Obama. This is why you get a Nancy Pelosi telling you the founding fathers would love Obamacare. They'd hate Obamacare. They'd spit on Obamacare. They couldn't even imagine the country could come up with Obamacare. This is why those very same liberals are telling you that Mohammed Meher was a lone mad gunman and not a radical jihadist, not a Muslim fundamentalist bent on jihad. Because they hate America. They despise the West. They're ashamed of the roots of our civilization. They're secularists. They hate our whole Judeo-Christian heritage. When FDR prayed on radio in public, asking Americans for God to give us guidance as we're about to storm the beaches of Normandy. They laugh at that. That's patriotism. That's religion. That's faith. That's not for them. That's not what Karl Marx teaches them. That's not what Saul Alinsky teaches them. That's not what Bill Ayers teaches them. That's not what the New York Times teaches them. My friends, today's liberals are essentially anti-American leftists. They are anti-American socialists. And that's why, deep down, when the radical Islamists say Israel is evil, America is an imperial occupying power, the Muslim world is the victim of the colonial West, deep down, whether they admit it or not, Barack Obama agrees with them. The academic left agrees with them. The liberals in the media agree with them. And that's why they will not finger this guy as a radical Islamist. That's why they have to purge a Michael Savage. That's why they have to purge a Jeff Kooner. And the only way they can do it is racist, Islamophobic. I'm going to get to the phone lines in literally 1 second. Well, 5 seconds. But let me tell all of you this one point. When you stand up against radical Islam and you get the, you're an Islamophobe, you're a racist or a bigot against Islam, there's only one statistic you need to know. More moderate Muslims who remain silent have been slaughtered by jihadists than Jews or Christians. The biggest victims of Muslim extremism are fellow Muslims. Look at Algeria. Look at Iran. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. Look what the Taliban have done to their own people. Look at all the honor killings. There was 1,000 last year alone in Pakistan. So don't tell me that I'm a racist because I oppose radical Islam. Don't tell me I'm an Islamophobe because I oppose radical Islam, because Muslims have been the number one victims of Islamists. Now, why doesn't CARE say that? Why doesn't the New York Times say that? Where's Obama now? The big outreach to the Muslim world. You care about the Muslim world, Barack, Mr. President? Why don't you stand up for all the moderate Muslims that have been slaughtered by Islamists? Oh, no, you don't want to do that because that's politically incorrect. Then the gaggle around you, those fawning sycophants, that media press corps, they'll turn on you. They'll mock you. That's the truth of the matter. So, my friends, we are not the bigots. We are not the racists. It is the liberals. It is the secular left. They're the ones that need to look at who the real racists are. 1-800-449-8255. Why do you believe that liberals refuse to confront reality, refuse to confront radical Islam, and do you believe that they have been covering up and lying to you? 1-800-449-8255. Lisa in Pittsburgh, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. You had asked a while back if we thought that the same thing was going to happen here that had happened over in France. And right now I'm reading a book by a former terrorist called The Blood of Lambs, in which he talks about how as a young child he was taught to hate us. And he came over here to America to destroy us. And through a set of circumstances, he had a conversion. And now he travels around the country trying to warn America to wake up that this is what is coming. And then the plan in the meantime is they come and they overwhelm the education system, the government, the jails, the media, and all the places of influence. And the same thing is what's coming here.
Oh, it is. No, look, I see it every day. Look, there have been some radical mosques outside of Washington, D.C. A prominent al-Qaeda cleric, they recently killed him. Anwar al-Awlaki, he eventually fled to Yemen. He was preaching jihad. That's, in fact, where Major Nadal Hassan was really seriously indoctrinated and radicalized and inspired, as he put it, to go and slaughter his fellow soldiers, his fellow brothers in arms in Fort Hood. So they're here. They're everywhere. We know that. And they're spreading like wildfire. They're becoming more emboldened. They're becoming more confident by the day. And to me, it's like an inverse. It's like an inverse reaction, because have you noticed, right after 9/11, right after 9/11, people were mentioning sort of the Islam connection. They sort of understood it. But the stronger the Islamists have gotten, the more they've spread around the world, the more obvious the threat has been, the more countries have been targeted, the less they want to use the word. They don't want to say Islamists. They absolutely refuse to say Islamists or Muslim extremists, to the point that Obama has ordered every national security document or defense document to delete the word Muslim or Islam or radical or extremist under the pressure of CARE and the Muslim lobby and, frankly, Saudi Arabia. So how are we supposed to win? We can't win. Do you think John F. Kennedy would have stood for that? Do you think he would have allowed Russian or Soviet or communism or Marxism to be deleted from national security or defense documents or Truman or FDR? No. The old liberals would say, that's the enemy. We identify him. We crush him. We defeat him. And we come home. We're not doing that. And so my question to you is this. What happened to liberalism? 1-800-449-8255. Do you feel betrayed by the liberal left? I want to hear from you. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Josh in Alabama, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation, Josh.
Hey, Jeff. Good evening.
Hi.
I agree completely with everything that you've been saying. I mean, in my opinion, liberalism has completely destroyed the backbone of America. Through political correctness, convincing everyone that it's against decency to be offensive. And, you know, not necessarily offensive, but the fact that maybe we shouldn't stand up to the things that we really should.
Well, you know, Josh, look, if you've noticed, I mean, there's so many double standards and hypocrisy. You can be offensive to Christians. You can be offensive to Southerners. Look at the jokes that Bill Maher keeps cracking, the supposed, quote, redneck jokes. Just on and on and on. Look at the lies that they keep saying. Like, for example, you want to know what I find offensive? Literally? Don't offend the founding fathers. Don't lie to me about what's in the Constitution and what Obamacare supposedly is. For example, here's Nancy Pelosi. You want to see offensive? Boys, roll the clip.
Our founders put forth in our founding documents, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that is exactly what the Affordable Care Act helps to guarantee.
It's a complete lie. I mean, it's going to bankrupt us. We don't have the money for another multi-trillion-dollar entitlement. I fled socialized medicine in Canada. I've seen what it does. You know what it is to wait 6 months for a cancer treatment? Do you know what it is to have a mother like I did who died from cancer? She lived in Canada because she could hardly see a doctor. And you're going to tell me that not only is it good for me, but that our founding fathers would love the government to take over 1/6 of the American economy and completely control the health care of me and my family? She's a liar. Point blank. And she lies with that stupid smile on her face. That's the thing that I find most offensive. Jake, in Washington, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. Go, Jake.
Hey, Jeff, just real quick. First of all, I just to tell you I'm a huge fan of you and Michael. But, you know, Jeff, every time I look at my children, I'm really saddened because it is, I look at it in the grand scheme of things, and I just don't think we can really come back from where we're at. They have, liberalism, leftists, have systematically broken us down to the point where we really can't come back from. I look at the kids nowadays, and they don't understand what they're giving away, what's being taken away from them every day. And I, as much as I want to believe it could change, I don't think it ever can.
Jake, look, I'm a Catholic. I'm a devout Catholic. And so I am by nature a pessimist. I mean, in a sense, I'm optimistic because I believe there's something greater for waiting for all of us in the kingdom of heaven. But in terms of earth, what happens here in the earthly kingdom, I believe, I know there's original sin. I know there's evil in the world. I know that our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified. The Son of Man was crucified. That tells you everything you need to know about human nature and how human beings behave. So I'm inclined to agree with you. I believe our children have been brainwashed. I believe they don't know what it is to be an American. Cecil Rhodes, one of the, a great Englishman, once said in the late 19th century, to be born a subject of Britain was to win the lottery of life. I believe to be born an American is to win the lottery of life. And yet, most Americans don't even know how precious it is to be an American, to have these freedoms, to have the greatest political, social, and economic system in the history of the world. My friends, if you don't know what you have, then you don't care whether you throw it away. And I believe that shows like Michael Savage's, The Savage Nation, is the last line of defense. America now, America forever, and I will fight for it until my dying breath. This is Jeff Cooner sitting for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.